The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to studio Rick O'Shea, the RTE broadcaster, columnist with The Independent. He's going to try and make sense of reciprocal tariffs for me here.
We've been frantically debating it
during the ad break.
I made the point just as I walked in that I'm so glad I do my job and not yours.
Yeah, well, we're going to try and understand exactly what all of this might mean for Ireland, the Irish economy and Irish consumers later. But what I said before the break as well is you would need a bit of oasis of calm from all of that. And I know you're going to provide it for the next few minutes. So I'm looking forward to this chat. So listen, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, because I know there's a few different kind of hats you wear. I mentioned, obviously, the paid gigs. You serve as an ambassador with Epilepsy Ireland as well. We might talk about that later. Mm. But I know there's kind of events on as well. Ireland Reads. So Saturday the 22nd.
You're brilliant for getting this out of the way at the beginning. You're a total pro. Thank you. Because the lovely Ireland Reads people, this is the third, fourth year that Ireland Reads that I've been involved in it anyway. And it's really simple. You'd like to read a little bit more. You've never gotten quite round to it. You need a nudge. You need somebody to say, okay, go on, off you go. So in the weeks running up to the 22nd, the Saturday, the idea is go check out the website, irelandreads.ie. It's run by the library service all across the country. Mm. And there will be events happening in libraries all across the country. They will have writers whose names you know. They have events with the likes of Donal Ryan and Cecilia Hearn and that stuff happening in libraries all around the country. And the idea is that you just give yourself a little target and you go, I'm going to read a book over the space of the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The website has a lot of suggestions for you. You can stick in, I quite like this, this and this, and it'll come up with ideas for you as well. It's brilliant and it's all done by the lovely people at Libraries Ireland.
Is it the worst kept secret in Ireland how good the library service is?
Yeah. I will not disagree with you there. And I think particularly when you see the way library services are being carved out and being cut up in other countries very close to where we are, and a lot of the things that happen with library services across the water in the United States as well, our library services full of, they're lovely people. They will welcome you in. They're incredibly knowledgeable. Odds are they will have what you're looking for. And if you're like, my dad discovered the library service for the first time in a long time, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, because he's reached that age now where he needs to read large print stuff or listen to audiobooks. And of course, if anybody knows, if you've ever used the library service, the Borrow Box setup for that is absolutely brilliant. And you may have to wait a little bit longer and you can't just go in and immediately flash your cash on it. But again, their setup is wonderful and they're the best people.
Yeah, I have a similar experience myself. My mother was asking about audiobooks and I said, Borrow Box. She couldn't get her head around that it was a free service. Yeah, you didn't have to give Jeff Bezos a tenner a month if you didn't want to do it. You know, and like that, you maybe just have to wait until a book is available. But there's other books to listen to or read in the meantime. I think a lot of people had that experience. You said kind of your dad's had rediscovered it. I think a lot of people drift. I was a member as a kid and it was a very good service, but it was a very straightforward service. And then I went back with my own kids. And in the meantime, there's been this huge expansion of services. There's a kind of a 3D printer down in the library that you can get access to. They will offer you those audiobooks. If you don't have a book in, they will go and get the book.
Yeah,
you
from get in, any library in the country. Yeah.
We've got that Diary of a Wimpy Kid your son wanted. Yeah. Down you go and get it. And they loved it. They're so helpful. It's just, I will, like you, I'll kind of sing their praises all day long. They're brilliant, the library service. Were you one of those people who needed a nudge to read a bit more a few years ago?
I was always somebody who read from the time I was a kid. So I was one of those kids who was in libraries. And I was one of those kids who was in Easton's and O'Connell Street every Saturday. My grandparents would bring me in when I was a kid and let me loose. I was very lucky and they would let me loose and go, off you go, come back with something. And sometimes it was comics, sometimes it was books. I got through a phase where certainly when I was in school, I almost ground to a halt because up to leaving cert. And then once I left, I started picking up again. And I read about probably, I would say, a dozen books a year up until about maybe 15 years ago. And I went through one of those existential crises and I would go into a bookshop and I would see so many books around me that I wanted to read.
Yeah.
And I knew that no matter how long I lived, I was not going to get to read all of them, that I set myself the task of reading 100 books a year in 2014. Now, that seems extraordinary. It's 2 books a week. If you put your back into it, and more importantly, if you maybe stop doing some of the things in your life that you don't necessarily need to do and you're wasting time on anyway, you can do it. And I managed it that year. And ever since then, I don't manage it anymore because, I mean, with work stuff and particularly one of the strange things about writing a book column for a newspaper is it means you have less time to read. But I still read maybe somewhere between kind of 70 and 80 books a year even now. And it's, you know, it's the center point of my entertainment life.
What's your favorite genre?
I love genres. I'm good. And some people will be quite, you know, picky about that. I read a lot of literary fiction. I do. I read a fair amount of nonfiction, but not as much as I used to. I used to be one of those, you know, because mostly men, statistically speaking, read an awful lot of nonfiction.
Yeah.
And I found myself reading tons of fiction from kind of...
All those bros on Instagram and stuff will tell you, you know, read these 10 nonfiction books to change your life. It's always men.
No, fiction will change your life. Nonfiction, I'm less interested.
Yeah.
But I forget what the question was. What was the question again?
Your favourite genre.
Oh, genres. Science fiction was the thing that got me into reading when I was a kid. So I read, you know, kids books, because when I was young, I mean, I turned 52 this year, when I was young, YA didn't exist. So you read Enid Blyton and then you jumped to some form of adult books. Mm. The first ones I jumped to were science fiction books. There was an Arthur C. Clarke collection of short stories in my, I say the school library. The school library was two bookshelves in the back of the prefab that we had when I was in third class. And I picked it out because it looked interesting. And I started reading a collection of his short stories and I ended up getting stuck with sci-fi from there. I don't read an enormous amount of crime, even though it is the biggest genre by sales. But I'll read almost anything.
Yeah, I know. And literacy rates, reading rates in this country... comparative to other European countries, are very strong, good readers in Ireland. Yet there is a kind of a downward trend in some age cohorts. And one would suspect the little device I have in my hand, telephone, plays a big part in it.
It is that thing. And you're absolutely right. But it's not just that lower age cohort. I'm that person as well who finds myself when I'm stuck away at home on the sofa reading something. I'm that person who goes, oh, that's really interesting, that thing I've just read. I must look that up.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, you're down a rabbit hole of information based on a word in a novel that you were just reading. So I've found that I have to take my phone and put it in a completely different room.
Mm.
It goes. It means I can't see it. It means I would have to get up off my arse in order to go and find it. And then I'm not going to do that. That's too much of a jump for me to make. I still think reading is an enormous part of our lives. But I think for some people, that reading is different. For some people, that reading is what they're reading online. It's what they're reading on news websites. It's what they're reading, you know, on their social media sites as well. And reading of books, fiction, nonfiction is different.
Well, that's important as well to shed any sense of snobbery when it comes to reading, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think anybody should ever have snobbery.
Yeah.
That thing about guilty pleasures when it comes to reading drives me absolutely bonkers, because the idea that there is a book that you probably shouldn't be reading, but go on, you'll get away with it. It's absolute nonsense. Whatever floats your boat, whatever you're into, if you like crime books, if you like science fiction books, if you like romanticy, which is the new biggest genre in the world, whatever it is you're into and whatever it does.
What's romanticy?
Romanticy is...
That's like 50 Shades of Grey.
No, it's like part fantasy, part love stories. I want to be very gentle. So the idea is you'll have writers like Sarah J. Maas who write some of the biggest romance books. It literally is romance fantasy together in one place. But fantasy as in fantasy.
Lord of the Rings with Raiden.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but you've put it well together.
Yeah, all right, okay. So in terms of...
I can imagine a romance book and at the front it has a quote, Lord of the Rings with Raiden.
Listen, if anybody out there is looking for somebody to review the books and offer blurbs for the front cover, I'm willing. I'm willing and able. How much do you still enjoy the radio?
Yeah, it's I enjoy it more now than maybe I have done it at any point in
time. Why?
I have complete freedom over what I do, which is just like there were points in my life. So I started off working in commercial radio stations. I started with local radio back in the early 90s. I hate having to say that out loud, but there you go. Where I kind of had some sort of freedom in the music I was playing. I used to do late night radio. I was 19 years old when I got my first gig, and it was doing late night radio in East Coast Radio in Wicklow. I went on to Atlantic 252 after that, if people remember it. But that was, you play everything that comes out in front of you on a list in the order, and there's no exceptions. And I worked in Dublin Radio, pretty much the same thing as well. 2FM had a ton of freedom. So I've been with RTE for 24 years now.
Yeah.
This year, which I hate to say out loud, most of those in 2FM. But for the last 8, I've been in Gold. And I can go in every day at 1 o'clock to RTE Gold and open up my computer system in front of me and go, what am I doing today? Is it David Bowie? Is that where I'm starting? Is it going to be Joni Mitchell? Is it... I have complete freedom over whatever it is I want to play. And luckily, people seem to like to human curation of music, because we all have some form of Spotify, whether it's Spotify itself or not.
Yeah.
And you know, the curation algorithms on that are woeful sometimes when it comes to telling you the music that you love, or even music that's half decent. And I still think it's one of those places where humans have such a place.
Yeah, it's funny because Pat Kenny was on earlier and we were talking about World Radio Day, and you know, Pat was talking about AI and the fears he would have over what impact it might have on the industry. And you can see why some jobs might disappear, kind of wither on the vine in the face of AI. Yet at the same time, we're told that what people respond to more than anything else is authenticity. And I don't know how you kind of provide authenticity with AI. So I'm not, you know, I kind of swing between kind of
optimism,
despair
and
optimism. Yeah.
And I don't know either, because the death of radio is something that's been talked about for a really long time, and long since before AI came along. And yet at the same time, I think that what people connect with radio, regardless of whether it's the kind of talk radio you do here or the type of music radio that I do in RTE, is human connection. It's that thing of, I know there is another human at the opposite end of the machine that I've just switched on. That person is there. They're talking to me. If they're any good at their job, they make it sound like that. And this is specifically created just for me. And I still think that hopefully for a long time to come, that's the sort of thing people are going to connect with.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. One would hope, certainly. Because I think the comparison often made is with linear television, and it's, you know, it's downward trend, and there's a sense it is kind of on the out, not immediately, not imminently, but it will eventually. It's not going to recover, but it, maybe it's a false comparison.
Yeah, and I think radio is going to become a very, very big word. Like, you and I grew up with radio, which was a thing that started at a certain point in the morning and then ran for 24 hours, and you just dipped into whatever happened to be happening live,
yeah,
which is what people do with both of our jobs now. But podcasting is a huge part of that for both of our organizations. I think music curation is going to become a huge part of that as well as time goes on. Maybe there's less of it now, but I think that's going to become a thing. And fingers crossed, it's something that people will still continue to like and care about. I could be entirely wrong, but I'm a kind of an optimist in life. I try to be one.
Yeah. Do you know what as well, though? And listen, I'm going to kind of upage myself here. Sometimes I despair on Spotify. It's the tyranny of choice, isn't it?
I'm fine with the tyranny of choice. That's the bit I love about it so much.
Because yeah, when I was a kid, what I want to do is I want to outsource that choice to someone like you, then, Rick.
Well, that's what I'm here for, decide.
Karen.
You know where to find me, 1 to 4 every weekday on RTE Gold. I love the tyranny of choice, because when I was a kid and when I was growing up and I got myself into certain sorts of bands, you could only find those bands by either getting lucky and finding them in a sale in the Virgin Megastore. Or there were times when I was like a teenager, I would buy stuff from American Amazon because it was the only place you could get the Statler Brothers or Jerry Reed's greatest hits. Or now I can touch pretty much anything in 100 years of recorded music and it's all there. I get slightly lightheaded at that. I love that bit.
All right. Well, listen, on an optimistic note, Rick, it's been a real pleasure.
And thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks a million. Yeah, Rick O'Shea, 1 to 4, as you said, every day, RTE Gold, columnist as well with The Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.